you smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel, conveniently located on Pennsylvania Avenue between the Capitol and the White House. We are in day 126 of the Universal Championship run, Donald Trump's first run at the belt. And I would say Jinder Mahal is having a little bit better of a week than Donald Trump.
I think we can say that at any point from here on out, that Jinder Mahal is having a better week than Donald Trump. It's Thursday, May 25th, a little after 7 p.m. Some news just broke right before we started, as it usually does, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But this is a podcast about the intersection of pro wrestling and presidential politics, and we wrote a book about that called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling.
In the last 7 days, the highest-paid movie star, who happens to be WWE superstar The Rock, hosted Saturday Night Live. And
how was that?
He did it, and yeah. This is his fifth time. And it had, hands down, the best skit he's ever done.
Okay.
And that was second to the last, and most people hated it. And other than that, it wasn't the best showing of The Rock. Anyways, he announced his run for presidency with Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
That's how the show opened. So that's one little, like, hey, professional wrestling's like politics. And then last night in Montana, a man body slammed a reporter, and they're
did he body slam?
Exactly. We'll get to that later. So this has been the week where most people are like, hey, Brandon Weatherby and or Chris Kelly, you guys wrote that thing, isn't it applicable? And we're like, yeah,
that cute thing,
that thing is our nation's past and present and future.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we just start with the week's big show is just Donald Trump versus the world.
Well, it's a big show.
Yeah, he reignited some old feuds. He started some new ones. He's working every territory here.
Yeah,
literally every territory.
Every territory. He's getting ready for SummerSlams. And, yeah, I think the first one is versus the Pope.
That's my favorite. My favorite feud of all time. Not even making people's top five. My favorite feud from the Trump. Not even when he still had the U.S. title. When he still did he even have the U.S. title?
No, he didn't have the U.S. title yet. He was not the candidate for president. He was a candidate.
Damn.
He was not the nominee.
Jesus.
Of the grand old party.
So he's just hanging out with the cruiserweights at 205 Live in NXT,
yeah,
starting fights with the Pope, and he won.
He punched above his weight, but here we are.
He won, and then he hung out with the Pope again this week. And he didn't let his BFF, Sean Spicer, meet the Pope, the one guy in his team that's Catholic, other than Melania. That came out this week. Did you know that?
No.
It was never publicized that she was Catholic. At the RNC, I covered the RNC for us. You could listen to me interview both Dolph Ziggler and Linda McMahon and not get body slammed while interviewing wrestlers at a wrestling arena at the RNC. Anyways, a lot of people that are Christian said, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because of Mike Pence. And I do think that if Melania said, I'm a Catholic, he wouldn't have maybe even needed to get Mike Pence.
Robots don't have religion.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I
like that.
I think that robots do have religion.
Yeah, they have the robot religion from Futurama. No, I like when Melania, whenever he tries to hold her hand, she bats it away.
They got a real Vince Linda thing going on right now.
Yeah, it is a real pandemonium. But the Pope looked real not happy to be with the Donald. It turns out we really shouldn't have written the book and done all this with the pro wrestling thing. It turns out you just take anything Trump does and set the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme song to it. It works. Works every time.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Anyways, that happened a few days ago.
Yeah.
That should be the news of the week. It's sort of the big show of the week, but only in our giant scope. So
yeah, because Trump's on his world tour.
This is amazing.
Yeah. He can just go to all the countries and places that he's had verbal diarrhea about.
He shit upon all of these. He starts in the Middle East, shit upon them.
Yeah.
It's great. Goes to Israel and Palestine, shits on Israel by going, hey, I didn't tell those dudes Israel did. No one said you did. Now you did. That's amazing.
That does protest too much.
In the middle of the match, he goes, he's not really hitting me. That's amazing. He's breaking kayfabe during the match.
Yeah, and today the world tour continued. He's in Brussels, meeting with the leaders of European nations that make up NATO. He's telling them that 23 out of 28 are not paying enough, which is misstating how NATO works. Still doesn't get how NATO works. He had said it was obsolete. He said it was deleted, but they don't have the rights to that gimmick, so it's no longer obsolete. Meanwhile, the U.S. is leaking the U.K.'s intel on the Manchester terrorist attack.
Listen, that is not me laughing at a terrorist attack. I hope that's very clear.
It's not that clear, but thank you for clarifying.
I am not. I think that what happened was horrible. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. I am laughing.
I think some people would disagree with it. I know people disagree with it. They're Republicans. They're conservatives.
Don't do that.
No, there are. They already did. It happened on the internet.
Oh, boy. Listen, it's a fucking tragedy that was targeting gay people and young people. Clearly, that's not a good thing.
No.
That's horrible.
I know.
That being said.
Shouldn't have to say that.
That being said, it is sort of funny that the guy that's leaking is like, we got to stop the leaks. Come on. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, he's like, where are these leaks coming from? This is bananas. I'm going to get my guy John Barron on the phone. I have no idea where these leaks are coming from. It's me. I'm John Barron. I'm also the president. Yeah, so Donald Trump having the week has gone, you know, I think I'm stealing a bit from a comedian who I've just forgotten his name, but when it came out that Trump was going to make a speech about Islam in Saudi Arabia, the joke was basically he ends the speech with, and here's a picture of the Prophet Muhammad that I drew. And he hasn't, like, this is the grading on the curve, the ultimate curve that Trump gets is that none of this stuff, it's all big news because the president's on his first, he's on his big boy tour of the world, but none of it's that bad compared to what could happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. One of the things that I don't even know if it ever even made our outline.
Oh, the fact when he bulldozed a prime minister of Montenegro?
No, I didn't even have that. But
okay,
that's part of
that's
it.
That's a thing.
That's part
when
of
he physically assaulted another foreign leader.
You just alluded to things could actually be worse, and I don't know if it made the outline. Is the travel ban was once again?
Oh yes, that was
the ban of the ban has been upheld from a Virginian court.
Yeah.
So everyone thinks the Ninth Circuit's in California is super liberal, which it is.
Yeah.
The Virginian court is not. It's the opposite.
So it's whether or not, once again, if they take this new revised travel ban that keeps getting smacked down, if they take it to SCOTUS and see what happens there.
So this is interesting. It's it's a good point that you just made that it could be a lot worse.
Yeah. It could also be worse. I think having a worse week than Donald Trump is Republican candidate for Congress, Greg Gianforte. Am I pronouncing this right?
Sure.
Okay, cool. We might not have to know his name much longer. We probably will, though. So last night, Wednesday night, reporter Glenn Jacobs for The Guardian said, Greg Gianforte just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
So for the listener at home, no one's talking about this dude's size.
Well, whose size?
The reporter's size.
Is he a big guy?
No.
Is he a cruiserweight?
He would make the Cruiserweight Classic, but he's more likely to be in like... I don't even know if he'd make... he's the guy in the second row at Full Sail that's like, oh, he's a small guy wearing a medium shirt. It's not like ill-fitting in any way.
Okay.
He's not a big dude.
Yeah, and he got body slammed. Or did he? So the campaign statement on this was that Glenn Jacobs grabbed Greg's wrist and spun away from Greg, pushing them both to the ground. Fox News says that a Fox News reporter who was there conducting an interview with the candidate and kind of saw this go down said Gianforte grabbed Jacobs by the neck with both hands and slammed him into the ground behind him. So if you need a visual representation of these two different depictions of what happened, the first one, what the campaign says happened, is very, very much sounds like Kaz Okada, the ace of New Japan Pro Wrestling's Rainmaker finisher, which is basically like, okay, so you're standing spooning, and you hold your arm in front of the other guy's waist, hold his wrist. It's a wrist lock. Then you kind of turn him around like you're dancing, and then you hit him with your other arm and with a clothesline. So that's what the campaign says that the reporter did, basically, saying that the reporter hit his finisher on the candidate. So that's a lie. What the Fox News person says happened was the boogeyman's finisher, kind of like Tensei's finisher. It's the boogie bomb. It's a choke bomb. A two-handed, it's not a choke slam. I saw some people going, oh, it's not a body slam, it's a choke slam. That's also incorrect. It's a choke bomb. You take both hands and then fall forward, which sounds a lot like what happened. So he was boogie bombed, this reporter, Glenn Jacobs.
Okay, so that's incredibly important for obvious reasons. I hope.
Yeah. There's okay. Well, the whole thing, there's a special election to replace the Secretary of Interior as a candidate, a congressman from Montana. And this races today, a special election. Polls close at 10 p.m. Eastern.
And it's currently 7:27 Eastern. Here's why it matters and doesn't matter. It matters clearly because, even really clear, unless this is like 1990 or 1989 and you're Geraldo and you say wrestling isn't real, you're not going to get hit by a wrestler.
Yeah.
Wrestlers do this. And the thing I had to explain to a lot of people today is, like, when you meet a wrestler or wrestlers meet other wrestlers, they shake hands softly to show, I will protect you. They don't randomly grab people, body slam them or boogie slam, whatever. They don't do that. Yeah. That's not actually wrestling. But here's why it doesn't matter.
Wait, I thought, like, on when you meet someone from Game of Thrones, they rape you and behead you. It's fake, guys. It's fucking fake.
This is from 538. This is really all you need to know. Gianforte had been favored over Democrat Rob Quist, but not overwhelmingly so. Importantly, roughly two-thirds of the vote or more have already been submitted before Wednesday in early voting. So the congressperson for Montana is for the entire state. Montana is very big. Lots of people vote in advance.
It's very big in area. It's not very big in population. It's smaller than population in the D.C.
This means that this doesn't really, it's not going to be early enough to sway an election. If this was 2 weeks prior, maybe. There are some people that are trying to change their vote.
Yeah. If you're going to boogie bomb a reporter, the time to do it, the time is now. Your time is now. Do it now because you have 24 hours to an election. That's the window.
That was a very big story of the week. It was not the big show of the week, but it's definitely the story that was the most important on Wednesday. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Wednesday night into Thursday, a lot of people talking about it. All the papers in Montana reversed their endorsements of this
guy. Which is also a big deal because 100% of them have conservative editors and conservative backers.
It's a conservative state. It's still Montana.
This is still a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit too late.
Yeah. So, okay, that's a lot of politics. Can we do a little wrestling?
Of course.
Okay. So we talked about it. Jinder Mahal having a better week than Donald Trump from here on out. Jinder Mahal was signed about 6 months ago. He had been in the WWE, come up through developmental. He lost to Seth Rollins when they at the first NXT championship for the belt. He was he's a 6'5" Indian, a Canadian guy from Calgary of Indian heritage and of like the subcontinent. And he then was basically a jobber, and then he was out of the company. And they brought him back specifically to be a jobber because they had the brand extension. They needed more bodies.
What, about 3 months ago when Rusev was healthy, he was essentially Rusev's muscle?
Rusev's second, yeah. And Jinder Mahal, always a 6'5", big guy, you know, quarterback size. Right now, we've been talking about it, he's really dieting and exercising, wink, wink, on the podcast. A diet almost exclusively of steroids and human growth hormone.
So my favorite GIF... Mm-hmm. Image meme from over the weekend, because it was backlash.
Yeah.
I think it was back zits or back rash.
Back rash, yeah.
Back rash.
He has some real bad back.
That being said, who looks better in a suit than Jinder Mahal the WWE?
Kevin Owens.
Okay, clearly Kevin Owens, a number
suit.
One.
Yeah. Your face of America. No, but Jinder Mahal is now, he won the championship at Back Rash. Which sounds like I'm doing a bet.
I know.
I don't like it.
And
I immediately regret it.
It's Nakamura's first WWE pay-per-view. What's it called, Chris?
Backlash with a pronounced L sound. Jinder Mahal won. A jobber beat Randy Orton.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. No, it was good because they cut to the... People are making the face of Brock Lesnar just broke the streak. But for Jinder Mahal winning on the formerly the A show, SmackDown, while Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, two of the best, if not... the two best wrestlers in the world fight over a meaningless belt.
It was so great.
Yeah.
It was so great. And it was in Chicago.
At the Allstate Arena,
so
Rosemont.
This is now the new number one match in the Allstate Arena. Number two, Austin Hart. Number three, Cena Punk. Money in the Bank.
I hate you.
Number one, Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal.
Going
wins.
Over Orton.
The Maharaja Mogul.
If JR called that match, you'd be like, that's a class. Top five. Five
God, he's done it. He's done it. He's killed America.
Actually, having JBL call that match made it better.
Yeah, because he says Maharaja every 4 fucking seconds. It was a bad match, and Jinder Mahal will be a bad champion, but it's fine.
Be
because there's 1.3 billion people in India, and it's a market they want to get into.
Which is great. Here's why WWE is fascinating, and part of me wishes I didn't have money in the company. They didn't have a shirt for the dude until today.
Yeah.
They clearly know, like, even if he's not going to win, because sometimes the booking decision is made until right before, you could at least make a shirt for the guy that's headlining the pay-per-view for the WWE.
He's been feuding for weeks in the setup. He's been number one contender for a month.
There hasn't been a t-shirt until today.
Yeah.
And his name, because they have custom nameplates on the belt, is just a random...
It's in Sanskrit. It's in the Sanskrit font. It's not in Sanskrit. It's in papyrus.
It's like...
The Microsoft Office font that says vaguely Eastern. That's what that font is.
They could have made so much more money.
So the thing is, it's not like they have a shirt that says Jinder Mahal is the champion. This isn't like a sports thing where they make up like a million,
actually,
the Marlins are champions and they send the shirts to Africa.
I think they actually I would buy a Jinder Mahal beats Randy Orton at Allstate Arena with the date.
Yeah. With the cup on it and the belt, yeah.
I would buy
list the roster of the team. It's just him and the two Balia guys. Yeah. Yeah, no, you would buy that because it's at the Allstate Arena, which is Chicago adjacent. So Jinder Mahal, champion.
We need to talk about Tuesday night. So that was on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
then Tuesday
night, they had a Punjabi celebration.
And it was legitimately good.
Yeah.
That was
the
weird part.
Music and dancing, Bollywood, a lot of stuff going on.
In no way did I feel bad for anyone involved.
No, I did not expect to do that. No, they weren't making fun of them because they're doing what they did with the last champion they had from Calgary, where he is a heel in this country and a face in his own country of India and Canada, much like the last... a Calgarian champion, Bret Hart.
So could we play that clip I sent you earlier this week? This is a member of Canadian
Parliament.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And this is like an official part of the cover.
This is in the record now.
This is amazing.
I have three documents to table today. The first one was dated Sunday, May 21st from the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois by the WWE Network. Jinder Mahal defeats Randy Orton to become new WWE champion. Second document is from Times of India. I want to represent India and make them proud. WWE champion Jinder Mahal in reference to his WWE Backlash win. Second one, this document from the Calgary Herald. Don't hinder Jinder Mahal. He's the first Calgarian professional wrestler to win the WWE championships in 20 years. With the subtext, it's been 20 years since Calgary last saw a WWE champion when wrestling legend Bret the Hitman Hart claimed his fourth title in 1997. I think I speak for all Albertans when I would like to congratulate this talented wrestler from Calgary on his championship win.
All right, so Canada's better than the United States for that reason.
Yeah, we don't put our fake champions into the fucking congressional record. We just put all this other fake news.
Yeah, we put them in the fucking White House. Yeah. It's the best.
Yeah. So, I mean, but this is something we're seeing. So, like we said, the WWE Network is now live in India. This is a big push. They want... It happens to time well with that. They got a guy who's Indian who can be this temporary face of the company. It doesn't matter if he's actually a face or heel. And they can do it. He can lose the belt tomorrow. It wouldn't matter because they can say he has the same belt that the
Bruno
same
San
lineage.
Martino and Hulk Hogan and all those guys.
Which is just a travesty. But it's
I love
fake,
it.
So
it's,
who cares?
I love it. It's fun.
But this is kind of in this trend of the WWE pushing into these other markets, marketing stars, other places, maybe not necessarily here. Like we've seen with Sami Zayn as being one of the faces of their programming in Muslim countries.
So Sami Zayn, Syrian heritage,
also Canadian,
and the only current WWE wrestler with Resist prominently displayed on his tights. And
yes.
I understand that it's
the quote is to resist despair in this world is what it means to be free. It's from Sound System by Op Ivy, which immediately for me undercuts the political, but I get he's so woke, and that's why he's not by Ivy League, Eric. But yeah,
I think it's fascinating because they're clearly not going to bring the guy over to Dubai when they're doing a press conference with Stephanie McMahon to get rid of him in 6 months.
Oh,
so.
No, he's around, and he's right now he's Scott Nerd, and his character is that he's a nerd that annoys people because that's what they see him as in the back because he's constantly like trying to tell people trying to tell people how their matches could be better and stuff, and like, oh, you know what, you should have done is this. So they've made his character.
So he's getting punished for caring too much.
Yeah, for being a fucking nerd, a mark. but he does have Resist prominently on his tights, which were made by Sasha Banks' husband.
Oh, that's so nice. I did not know that.
Well, he does costume stuff.
That's
for the
fun.
WWE. So, yeah. So Sami Zayn and Jinder Mahal, both winners at Backlash. Sammy
big
also
night for Canada.
Yeah, Sammy also won on Tuesday and then promptly got his ass kicked by Baron Corbin, one of my favorites. Backlash, we can disagree on this. The internet has spoken. Dave Meltzer has spoken. Backlash was not a good show.
Okay, I agree it was not a good show.
I think it was a bad show.
I'd still rather watch Backlash than any Raw or SmackDown.
That's tough. It's longer. I'd rather watch SmackDown because it's just 2 hours. You can knock it out.
All right, fine.
So Backlash, not very good. And mostly because they kind of, they upstaged themselves the two nights previous on their own WWE network on Saturday night, as they're doing now at before pay-per-views. The night before pay-per-view, doing NXT TakeOver specials. NXT, we've talked about before, it's the developmental league. But right now it's in this kind of weird, they've made an indie in their that they control and hired a bunch of indie stars, hired a bunch of like up-and-coming guys from the UK. And it has better, I think pound for pound, better wrestlers and better wrestling than was on their main
show.
It's
very hard to disagree with this. I don't want to talk about it that much, yeah. At least in my side, because Chris Gethard and I talked about this a little bit,
yeah,
and that's at the end of the show. The thing that really did it for me, though, was what you did for me, and I appreciate this. About 2 months ago, you showed me this promo, mm-hmm, of these three guys from Great Britain. I've only seen them wrestle. I never really heard them talk, and them talking is really what turned me on to these guys. And I know this sounds incredibly homoerotic. It's supposed to.
Yeah.
And because of that, I watched their Cruiserweight Classic match, or their UK,
Championship.
I watched their UK,
yeah,
Championship match, thanks to you, and it was great. And I watched their match on NXT Chicago, clearly the match of the weekend.
Yeah, this
it was
is,
great.
Tyler Bate, he was the champion. He lost the belt to Pete Dunne, the big heel they've built up. The only true heel in the company, who's not getting booed because he's from another country, he's getting booed because, like, at the UK Championship, after they announced the winners of the first round, he jumped his second round opponent. Because, yeah, why wouldn't you do that if you're having a fight the next day with the guy?
It's great.
And he's already got the Regal seal of approval. He got the Triple H seal of approval. They clearly
see. We'll get to Triple H soon. Yeah. But
if you want to see that promo, it's British Strong. If you look up British Strong Style on YouTube, and it's three British-looking guys in front of a brick wall, and it's excellent.
And I want to say it's Jack White music.
Might be. Yeah.
It is so good. And here's why I think that British style wrestling is my favorite. Number one, I identify with their out of shape body types.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, I don't care as much when I see them clearly get concussed.
Because they're foreign?
No, because I'm like, oh, that's my heritage. I could do that. It's fine. Because my last name's Weatherby. I mean, I'm British.
Yeah, you were in the UK tournament.
Exactly.
You know that? You got to be there, like, in Liverpool tomorrow.
I don't feel bad. But if I see any other nationality, I'm like, ooh, that's not good. But if
like,
it's
like when Randy Orton dropped one of the Bollywood,
yeah,
boys directly on his head, and Randy Orton made the face of that noise.
Yes.
You just made.
But if it's,
ooh,
just two guys that look like me, I'm like, just get over it. God. Get up.
Yes.
It's fine.
So this is the Great American White Guilt Lash, or whatever we call this podcast. Yeah, so it was a good night. Dunn and Bate had a 5-star match. A solid match from Atami and Rude. The tag match to close the show was very good, and then had an amazing bit of storytelling at the end. It was just overall a great pay-per-view. And NXT exists, basically, so that Triple H, Paul Levesque, can prove that he can run a promotion in the event that Vince McMahon ever dies. That there's someone who can, a turnkey operation, a guy who can...
He's grooming his son-in-law for bigger and better things to protect the company.
Much like our president.
Okay, yeah. So we have breaking news.
It's Jared Kushner under investigation. So Triple H is having a better week than Jared Kushner because he just had a great pay-per-view with all his boys and girls. Jared Kushner, according to the Washington Post, something that just broke tonight, quote, investigators are focusing on a series of meetings held by Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and an influential White House advisor, as part of the probe into Russian meddling in the 2016 election and related matters, according to people familiar with the investigation. The Post has not been told that Kushner is a target or the central focus of the investigation. He's not been accused of any wrongdoing. That doesn't make it that much better. Target being a specific, like a term of art of investigations, meaning that he would be the guy they're trying to bring in.
So I think that we need to bring this up every time we talk about investigations. The target of the thing that got Clinton impeached wasn't Monica Lewinsky.
What was it?
It was Whitewater.
Oh yeah, and it, then it was yeah.
That's so we need to remember this when these investigations and we're talking about these investigations.
You start pulling these threads.
Yeah, it's not. Listen, it's how you play the game,
and how you win it. And right now, Jared Kushner needs to listen to Motorhead because he's being investigated. And if you've ever seen a picture of this guy, yeah, it does not. He does not seem like he's going to really stand up to an FBI investigation.
He's still in his Hunter Hearst Helmsley era. He needs a gimmick refresh real soon.
He needs to tell Robert Miller to suck it.
I'm not going to end with he needs to tell Robert Miller to suck it. All right.
I know. Well, usually we would end it with such with such a zinger like that, but we luckily we do have an interview you did.
Yeah, with Chris Gethard. You might know Chris as a man that your NPR fans like because he's on This American Life and he's on Death, Sex, and Money. You might know him, what?
From Broad City. He's Alana's boss.
There you go.
That's how most people would know him.
I know him from his Fusion, formerly Public Access Television show, which featured Colt Cabana.
A wrestler.
We talk a little bit about that. It featured X-Pac. We talked a little bit about that. John Hamm. We did not talk about John Hamm because no one listens to this for John Hamm. And most importantly, Rhino. And there's a good segment in here where we talk about Rhino and Rhino's failed bid for State House in Michigan.
I got turned back onto wrestling. I was definitely a lapsed fan. So I grew up, I'm 82, so my guy was Jake the Snake Roberts and Ultimate Warrior. And then what really turned me on to wrestling again was in 2015, the Mountain Goats record, Beat the Champ, it made it feel somewhat okay to rewatch this stuff. And thanks to the network, and thanks to YouTube, and thanks to a lot of people that are not your stereotypical wrestling fans, like you, and that Vulture article about you, it made me realize, like, oh, I'm not an idiot. This is just good theater. This is just good stuff. When did you feel like it was okay to say, I am a professional wrestling fan and I am not going to apologize for who I am?
I don't think I ever hit it. I think I grew up with it. It was a major part of my identity. The only time I've broken a bone was my brother. We were wrestling on our front lawn. He broke my collarbone. Like, ever since I was a little kid, my dad banned it after that. It always felt like this like thing that we weren't supposed to be watching or doing and that we insisted on watching and doing. And, you know, it's weird because there's definitely so much nostalgia there. And I never apologized for it. I think in a weird way, like, I don't know how many people there are like this, but I'm kind of like a semi-lapsed fan in that I don't watch Raw or SmackDown or pay-per-views. But I got the network and I started watching all the documentaries about the guys I grew up with. Like you said, I was watching documentaries about Piper and I was watching Ric Flair stuff, watching all old Clash of the Champions stuff so I could see the Great Muta, I could see Sting, like all those guys I grew up with from that era. And then that really made me miss those old like territorial feeling days because I always liked the NWA a lot when I was a kid. And then that led me to NXT and you know, like the Cruiserweight Classic, because those things kind of felt like throwbacks to that style when things were smaller and grittier when I was a kid. So it was weird. I grew up on the WWF, but mostly I found the NWA because my dad banned us from watching wrestling, but he only knew about the WWF. You know, it was on Saturday and Sunday at noon. He knew to yell at us then if we turned on the TV. He didn't know about 6:05 p.m. on the Superstation TBS. So I always loved it. Never really apologized for it. I don't know. I think I was always pretty proud of it, even though I was also aware that it was ridiculous and had a reputation as being kind of like trashy. I just didn't care. I love it.
Do you think that that's maybe why you weren't like afraid of the public access tag? If you're associated with professional wrestling, people think you're an idiot or people think you're a rube, but it doesn't matter your education, it doesn't matter how you look, they're going to assume this guy's an idiot. And if someone has a public access show, a lot of people are going to assume, hey, this guy's a failure, instead of, oh, this guy's actually trying to live his dream.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of things in my life. I think just being from New Jersey is another thing where people are going to roll their eyes or say you're dirty or you're trashy. Like, we always hear those jokes. So, I don't know. I just, I think also as like a kid who liked punk rock, I think when I was about 13, like, my brother started taking me to punk rock shows when I was 13 or 14 years old. And I think that's another big culture that's like, do not apologize for who you are. I think that's one of the first things that appeals to people about that. So there's a lot of factors add up where I'm like, oh, everybody's judging different things. But yeah, I think public access and wrestling do kind of go weirdly hand in hand in my mind.
Have you heard about Billy Corgan buying the NWA?
I have.
Do you have any thoughts about this?
I will say, in total honesty, I have almost zero thoughts regarding Billy Corgan purchasing the NWA, except for the fact that as a kid who was born in 1980, it is a total confluence of things I loved in the early 90s in a way that is totally bizarre and weirdly exciting. Although I imagine it's not going to end well. There's something amazing about the guy who wrote Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness now owning the belt that I watched Steamboat and Flair battle over so many times.
This leads to both a theory I have and a question I have for you. Here's my theory. Feel free to shoot it down. Billy Corgan simply bought the name rights of the NWA, so CM Punk has a place to one day wrestle when he decides to come back because they are friends, which leads me to the question for you. You had Colt Cabana on the show with X-Pac and Rhino and John Hamm, but let's not talk about John Hamm. Let's just talk about the wrestlers. And it was a wonderful episode of your television show. In that episode, it was right before Rhino was back into the WWE. Is this correct?
Yeah.
This is because I know this because he has R-H-I-N-O on his gear, but when he's in the WWE, it's R-H-Y-N-O for copyright purposes. What I want to know is, did his run for public office ever come up when you were with him?
1,000% it did. It was almost all of what we talked about. He really buddied up. There's a writer on my show named Nicole who's a very smart, very political person. They talked a ton about it. They spent hours talking about their favorite United States presidents. This is all true. And two of my writers, Nicole and Greg, told Rhino if he needed speechwriters, they were willing to help out. Like, everybody really fell in love with Rhino. He did talk about politics most of the time. He's a very sweet guy. And another, here's a trivia, here's like an Easter egg that almost nobody knows, that we also had these two wrestlers dressed as a pineapple and a coconut.
Yes.
For the bit. One of those guys was Curt Hawkins, who's now also back in the WWE.
That is wonderful. You,
I think you got the scoop on that one.
Thank you so much. The Curt Hawkins. You are not a Republican.
No. I'm a lifelong Northeastern liberal.
Rhino is a Republican.
Yeah.
Did this come up?
It did. At the end of the day, it's not every day you have a chance to contribute to the political campaign of a former ECW heavyweight champion, and I think they just had to jump at that chance, politics aside.
Let's not put politics aside. Even as a semi-Leps fan, you clearly understand Donald Trump's association with the WWF/E and his Hall of Fame status. As a fan of probably one and not the other, how does it feel to watch the product now if you ever do tune in? You said you watched the Cruiserweight Classic. There hasn't been a Trump mention since 2015 on the program. I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about this.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because I feel like, I will say this, is that a lot of my friends who are, you know, Northeastern progressives, liberals, New York City in a bubble here, I think they were totally baffled. Like, who are these people voting for Donald Trump? But I say this respectfully, like, as a lifelong wrestling fan, I'm like, no, I get it. I've been in massive arenas full of people who would vote for Donald Trump. Like, I get the buttons he's pushing because he's working class theater as much as wrestling is, right? Like, I bet someday he'll sit down for an interview and say, that's part of how he learned to talk to the blue-collar working-class people was by being in a wrestling ring. And as far as, like, fake news, as far as people who want to put facts aside and just believe in something, those are wrestling fans, right? They actively believe in a thing that they know is fake. They take it more seriously than they take their real lives. And they suspend all disbelief just because they want to believe so bad something's real happening, and that the fake aspect of it somehow makes it more trustworthy. So I actually felt like I was a little less surprised by his election than some of my friends. I mean, I was totally shocked. But that being said, when I sat and thought about it, yeah, I mean, I grew up going to the Meadowlands. Went to SummerSlam at the Meadowlands, and a guy tried to beat up my brother because my brother held up a sign that said wrestling is fake. The guy ran down and threatened to beat his ass. Like, I get it. I know who these people are. I know how they think. I like them.
Who should run that's a current wrestler?
Who would be a good politician out of a current wrestler?
Yeah, so you can't say The Rock.
Yeah, I can't say The Rock because there's already so many rumors about that. I already thought about that. Let me think on this. Who would be good? You know what? Ah, no, but he's Canadian. I think Sami Zayn is such a pure, true individual. I've had the chance to meet him. He was on my show for a thing, and then we hung out a couple of times after that. He's a very sweet, genuine, heartfelt, thoughtful guy.
So I know that you're not watching products right now, but last night was one of the worst named pay-per-views, Backlash, and Sami has some new ring gear, and there's some Op Ivy lyrics on his pants. But the clearest word says resist.
Yeah, look at that. He's already going political.
He's going political.
But yeah.
He's actually Syrian, and he's anchoring the expansion for the WWE to the Middle East. I completely agree. I think Sami Zayn in Canadian Parliament is actually maybe a safe bet.
Yeah, I think that could be very doable. And outside of that, I don't know if I'd trust anybody. I don't know if I trust anybody in there. I wonder, you know who I think has a vibe that's pretty wholesome and American and who is a real face you can trust? Gargano.
Okay.
Johnny Wrestling, man.
I did not see that coming.
I think that's an all-American boy right there, right?
Maybe. I would go more with like Colt Cabana or something.
Oh, yeah. Well, Colt's a buddy of mine, so I feel like I'm not allowed to say his name. But I would say Gargano. That's a good bet. He comes to mind, though. That's a pretty straight-laced babyface, at least when I was watching NXT, when I was most caught up with it. But you can't trust that Ciampa as far as you can go.
You gotta. You haven't watched NXT Chicago then, huh?
I'm like partway through it. I was reading so many good things about that Pete Dunne.
Holy
Tyler
shit!
That match.
Turned
I went
me
and watched
UK,
that.
Man. Oh my god.
Yeah, that match was insane. That's one of the best matches I've seen in a long time. And then I really love Asuka. So
oh,
I watched the triple threat after that. And I'm going to go back and watch the rest of it. But I was reading so many good things about that Dunn Bate match that I went and watched it. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
So I clearly don't want to see anybody get concussed. But, like, there was at least one concussion on one of the DDTs, right? Am I crazy? Because...
Oh, I know the exact one you mean. He was like 100% vertical on that. Those guys clearly had something to prove and clearly were like, if we suffer career-ending injury in this match, let's just show off what we can do. And it looked like they had a chip on their shoulder, and it was fun to watch.